This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, so here is the first question. What is the next surah after Al-Baqarah? The next surah after Al-Baqarah is... The correct answer is Ali Imran. Okay, so good job. You all got that right. Alhamdulillah. You don't see the poll? Okay. What is the question? Phone got scratched. What is... Okay. So the question is, what's the next surah after Al-Baqarah? The next surah after Al-Baqarah is, you just go into the Quran and you will find that the next surah is Ali Imran. All right. So that's the correct answer. MashaAllah. Good job there. Okay. Next question. Where was Surah Ali Imran revealed? Was it revealed in Mecca? Was it revealed in Medina? Or was it revealed in Jerusalem? Now, here is the thing. When it comes to the way we understand or the way we categorize the Quran, right? You have to categorize it in a way so that you can understand it a little bit more. The Quran was the Prophet lived in which city, or which he was born in which city?
Mecca,
right? So, and he received the first revelation in?
40 years old.
He's 40 years old in Mecca, right? So, the Quran that was revealed in Mecca, right? As he was 40 years old when he received revelation, he left for Medina when he was 53. So the first 13 years of the Quran is called Meccan Quran because the Prophet ﷺ was based in Mecca. Okay, then the next 10 years he was in Medina until he passed away. So that time frame is called Medinan Quran. Okay. So this Surah Ali Imran, when I say where it was revealed, we're asking which of the two eras is it going to be? And the answer is Medina and Quran.
Medina.
Right? It's in Medina. The reason why this is important is, you know, something that's interesting is you would see the Quran that was revealed in Medina, it has like longer surahs, longer ayahs. The Quran generally revealed in Mecca is shorter surahs, shorter ayahs. You know, it has a different style. Also, it has a different audience, right? Because the audience in Mecca is full of people who don't want to listen to the Prophet ﷺ. It's full of people who are his enemies, his adversaries. They don't want to hear him. So the message is according to them. And also the topic, the size of the message is short. So that those who are not wanting to listen, at least the short message can stick with them, yeah? In Medina, who is the audience in Medina? Tell me.
Sahabi and companions.
The companions, right? Are the companions wanting to listen to the Prophet ﷺ?
Yes.
Of course they would. They would be, they're most ecstatic to hear what the Prophet ﷺ has to say. So the message is different accordingly, and also the length of it is a little longer. So that is why we discuss this. So in the very beginning of the study of any surah, that is something we like to talk about. Okay, last thing is, who is Imran? Okay, so the name here, the surah, as you can say, is Ali Imran. What does the word Ali mean? What does the word Ali mean, by the way? Do you guys know?
Family.
The word Ali means family. Okay, very good. Okay.
Son of Imran. The family of Imran.
So Ali Imran means the family of Imran. Okay? Ali Imran is the family of Imran. Now the question is, who is Imran? Right? Who is Imran that is being referenced as in the family of Imran? Let me just give me a sec here, guys. Yeah, so Imran here is either, like, here are the four choices. Is he a prophet? Okay. Is he a Sahabi? Is he the father of Maryam? Or is he the grandfather of Jesus? Who is he? Who is Imran? That is the question. All right. So two of you said Imran is a prophet. That is actually not the correct answer. Imran was not a prophet. One of you said he's a Sahabi. By the way, this is anonymous. I don't know who said what. So when I give you guys a poll, right? Don't worry about it. Like, I don't actually know who said what, all right? So don't feel like I'm going to pick on you or something. So let's actually write out, like, who is Imran? So this is now we're studying Surah Ali Imran, the third surah of the Quran, okay? Now, a few things about it that we just already discussed is that it is a Makkan surah, Madinan surah. And its name is the family of Imran. Now, the question, of course, is who is Imran? Imran is not a prophet. Imran is not a Sahabi. Imran is the father of Maryam. Yes, he is the father of Maryam. And what does that also make him? That makes him the?
He's the grandfather of Jesus.
He is the grandfather of Jesus. Yes. The grandfather of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. Okay. So the surah is named after the grandfather of Isa alayhi salam. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
What do you think the surah is going to talk about if it's named after the grandfather of Isa alayhi salam?
It's going to talk about him.
It's going to talk about him, of course. Yes? And it's going to also talk about people who believe in him. And people who believe in him not just as a prophet of God, but people who believe in him as he's the son of God. Who are the people who believe that Jesus is the son of God?
Christians.
The Christians believe that, correct. Okay. Do we believe that, you know, God can have a son? Do we believe this?
No.
No, that is an idea that we reject. Okay. All right. So now, as you can see, this surah is going to speak to the Christians. Now, the Christians in the audience are going to be addressed, and it's a very beautiful address, and we'll see how that plays out. Okay. Now, I want to ask you guys, there is a family tree we have to draw. Okay. There's a family tree that we have to draw. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
All right. So here is Imran. Let me insert that smart shape. Where is that smart shape? No, smart art. Yes. Hierarchy. Okay, I think this is good. Okay. All right. So I have Imran. And who is the child of Imran?
Maryam.
The child of Imran is Maryam. Okay, very good. Let me actually delete this. Where is... I'm struggling with these controls. Hold on. All right, there I am. Okay, Imran. Okay? Now, the child of Imran is Maryam. The child of Maryam is...
Isa.
Isa, okay? By the way, what is the biblical name of Isa? It's obviously...
Jesus.
Jesus. What's the biblical name of Maryam?
Mary.
Very good. All right. Now, on the there's Imran is actually married to. Imran is married to. The lady that's mentioned is called Imra'atu Imran, the wife of Imran. Her name is not mentioned in the Quran. The mother of Maryam. Okay. Now, the other person here that is important is Zachariah. Okay. Zachariah, his biblical name is what? Do you guys know what his biblical name
Zaki.
Is? Not Zaki. Anybody else know?
Zachary.
You can type the answer. Abdurrahman's still guessing. Anybody want to know the answer? You can type... Zachariah, very good, Abid. Jazakallah khair. Zachariah is the person here, okay? All right, so I'm trying to see if I can do somehow like trying to create this thing here, right? Oh, hold on. All right. No, I can't do it. Hold on. Okay. Now, you have the wife of Imran. And Imran, I'll draw a line here, okay? The wife of Imran and Imran are married and they have with, the, you know, they have Maryam. And then Maryam has?
Isa.
As Isa. Okay, very good. Let me insert a shape, a line. So I'll say like these two are like married, okay? Okay? And then they have the child, Maryam, and whatnot, okay? Now, Zachariah, the wife of Zachariah, the wife of Zachariah, and them, these guys have, maybe I'll put Maryam under, the wife of Zachariah is married to Zachariah, yes? And that part is obvious. But do you know the relationship between the wife of Zachariah and the wife of Imran? The wife, they are?
Sisters?
They're sisters. Very good. Who said that?
Me, Abdurrahman.
Abdurrahman, very good. Okay, so these two, let me insert a shape here. These two right here. Okay, that's not going to work. There. Insert shape. There. These two are sisters. Okay? They're sisters. So what is it? What is Imran? Who are Imran and Zachariah now?
Brothers.
They are?
Brothers-in-laws. Brothers-in-law.
Brothers-in-law. Very good, right? They're married to... Like they're married into the same family. The wife of Imran and the wife of Zachariah are sisters. Okay? Now, who is the son of Zachariah and the wife of Zachariah?
Yahya.
His name is Yahya. What is his biblical name? Very good, Abid. He says John. Correct. That's Yahya alayhi salam. This is, folks, this right here is the family of Imran. Okay? This is the family of Imran. Okay? These people. And these are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about. As you can see, all of these people are central to Christianity. Zachariah, Yahya, Zachariah, John, who's known as, John the Baptist, Mary and Jesus. These are all central figures in Christianity. The Quran describes them as the family of Imran. And the things that took place to them or happened to them are mentioned in this surah. Okay. Now, let us look at what the surah is going to talk about. Shall we? All right. Surah Ali Imran. Now, I want you guys to do this for me. You guys ready for this? We're going to do something a little interactive.
Okay.
I'm pasting a link here on the chat. Can you all click on that link?
Okay. Yes or no?
Right? Now, once you've clicked on the link, I want you to answer the questions of the second poll for me.
Okay.
All right? All the answers you can explore here. Okay, so the first question of the poll here is, Surah Ali Imran is longer than Surah Al-Baqarah. True or false? I want you to try to answer that question. How you answer that question is you figure out the number of ayahs in both surahs. And the ayahs are right here. You click on it and you can see how many ayahs there are. Right? So, take a moment. I want you to do this. And then answer these questions, please. Can everybody open the link? Yes or no? Please type something or click on yes in the participants window. People. Yes? Okay, very good. Thank you, Adnan. you know the answers, you can just answer them. Okay. But I would like you all to kindly address these things. I can open the link, but I don't see where to answer. The answer is in the poll.
In Zoom.
In Zoom. Poll in Zoom. Okay? The poll in Zoom.
It's just like a cheat sheet that you read on the link.
Hmm. People, can you open the link? Are you able to? If you need help, let me know. No. Okay. So that is a basic introduction to the surah. Okay. Now we get into the main topic of the surah. Okay. What is the main theme of this surah? What is the main theme? Or let's, you know, in fact, let's identify what are the most important themes in this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus on. Okay, so you can guess one of them. The one of them is Ali Imran by the name. It is going to addressing the Christians. Okay. So this is going to be like a theological debate. Okay, this is going to have theology. We will talk about the theology of the Christians, and we'll talk about our theology and how that's different. What we believe is different, and also we'll talk about how these differences are important. And we'll figure out. We'll go through an activity, logically speaking, which makes more sense. Okay. Okay, we're gonna. That's an important theme. Another important theme here is going to be the history of the family is of the history of the early history of the Christians, right? So the life of Maryam and Isa. Okay. The Quran mentions the life of Maryam and Isa in many places. Surah number 3, Ali Imran. Surah number 5, Nisa. Surah number 19, Surah Maryam. All of it is named after Maryam alayhi salam. Even though it has other stories in it. But she is prominently featured there. Okay. So it is something you find in many places in the Quran. And Isa alayhi salam himself alone is mentioned in other places like Surah number 4 and so on and so forth. Okay. Now, all that said, this is an important theme of this surah, the life of Maryam and Isa. These are very important figures for us in Islam and in our theology, along with other faith traditions like the Christians. All right. Another important theme here that is something you will find in Surah Ali Imran is the idea of what is true faith? What is true faith? What does it mean to have faith, like being a faithful person? What does it mean? This is a very important theme. In fact, we'll put this a little bit ahead because it's actually like a central theme. Okay. And also the surah will talk about what happens to the Prophet and the Sahaba later on. Okay. And they will all relate together. It actually is speaking about the battle of Uhud. When we get there, we'll discuss this inshallah. And selflessness. The battle of Uhud and selflessness. These are some of the important topics that we'll cover in this surah. Now, how they all fit together, inshallah, you'll see once we're finished with this surah, okay? But these are themes that we'll focus on. Let's look at the beginning of the surah. Just give me a second here. Hold on. Hello. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Surah Ali Imran begins with Alif Lam Mim, just like Surah Al-Baqarah began with Alif Lam Mim. Yeah? Okay. These letters we spoke about quite a bit before. Its meaning is something that is known to Allah. They are a very unique way of, very unique style of the Quran. It is as if Allah is saying, here are the letters of the alphabet, O people of Arabia, especially at the time when this was revealed. Here it is. It's your alphabet. It's your language. If you think these words are the words of a human being, then you go ahead and match it. And the people didn't take that challenge. Okay? Alif Lam Mim. This is what this, one of the things that these letters represent. It starts by mentioning that who is Allah? Allahu la ilaha illahu. There is no deity save him. Meaning, he is the only one worthy of worship. That's what this means. There is no deity save him. There is no God but him. I.e. there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I.e. only Allah is worthy of worship. Nobody else is worthy of worship. Why is he the only one worthy of worship is answered in the ayah itself. Because he is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyu. He is what? Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. How many names of Allah are in this ayah, people? One, two, or three? Tell me.
Three names.
I know. People, are the rest of the people, are you guys there?
Three names.
I don't see many people typing anything. Come on. Okay. Name number one is Allah. That is, of course, how you refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. No problem. Name number two is Al-Hayy.
Al-Hayy.
What does Al-Hayy mean?
Living.
The living, yeah. The third one is
Al-Qayyum.
Wa alaykum salam. And Al-Qayyum is the sustainer, yes? Okay. Do you does this seem familiar? Can you think of another part of the Quran that this ayah comes in?
Ayat al-Kursi in Baqarah.
In which ayah is this, Abdurrahman?
Ayat al-Kursi.
Ayat al-Kursi, very good. Ayat al-Kursi has the same beginning actually. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Right? Yes or no, people?
Yes.
Right? So this is something. How many of you know Ayatul Kursi? Please type in the chat if you know it. Yes. Right? Does it have the same sentence that starts it? It does, right? Okay. So, very good. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for responding. Al Hayy Al Qayyum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the reasons why He is the only one worthy of worship. Okay? So He's going to address this idea. He's going to say, why is Allah, right, the only one worthy of worship? Okay? So there's two reasons He provides. Number one, He is Al-Hayy. No, I wanted to start here. He is Al-Hayy. He is the living. Okay, Al-Hayy. And then number two, He is Al-Qayyum, the sustainer. Al-Qayyum. All right. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, the living, the sustainer. What this is saying is every single person will live and then they will die, correct? Nobody lives forever. The one who is worthy of worship, okay, if you think about it logically, if there is someone, if there is one person or one entity that would be so unique and powerful and different that it is the one that only one that deserves worship, right? Your worship means full your love, your devotion, your reverence. All of that is for that one entity. If there is one, just think logically, that one has to be different than me and you. If that one lived and died, how is that person different than me? Why should I worship that person? You see? Logically, for the one true deity, the one to be worthy of worship, the only one, has to be the one that is always living, does not have the flaw or the defect of death. And also, by extension, the one who is someone who has lived always and will always continue to live, transcends time. It's not bound by time. We are bound by time. We have a birth date, yes? And then we also have a date of death. That's the one we don't celebrate. Yeah? That's the day that a person dies. Al-Hayy has to be the one, logically, for them to be so unique than anybody else and everyone else, that they have to be all living, eternal, not restricted by time, not restricted by space. They have to be what's called necessary. In logic, they say this. You have to have a necessary being. Everything afterwards depends on the necessary being. The necessary being has to be there, otherwise everything else afterward cannot exist. That necessary being, for it to be necessary, has to be always living, cannot die. And also has to be the one that has sustains everyone. Sustains mean keeps everything going. What actually Al-Qayyum means is the one who brought everything into existence and keeps everything into existence. And the one that everything relies on. And that's the idea of it being necessary. For logically speaking, for there to be a God, that God has to be necessary, because everybody else is not necessary. You will die, right? Everything, like this cup, will break eventually and then cease to exist. Okay? Everything will stop existing around us eventually. Okay? That's why it is, quote unquote, not necessary. For God to be God, he has to be necessary, al-hayy, always living, never dying. And everyone has to depend on him. You see? That's what makes him, that entity, necessary, al-qayyum. This is a very beautiful start, right? Why is this a very beautiful start to the surah? Because what do the Christians claim? The Christians claim, who is God?
Jesus.
So they claim that there is actually not just Jesus is God. They claim that
there's two.
They claim that there is actually
two gods.
Not two.
Holy Spirit. Three.
So the Christian belief has evolved over time. The current Christian standard theology is God is three persons in one being. It's confusing. Okay? Three persons in one being. God the Father, that's Allah. Okay? The Son, that's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, that is Isa. Jibreel alayhi salam. Okay? They're all, you know, there are three individual beings, but they're one person. Now you're like, well, how does that work? Okay, but that's the idea of Trinity. Have you heard of the word Trinity before? Not from like the Matrix, but the concept of Trinity. Okay, that's in short what Trinity means: three persons, one being. Okay, now what the Quran says is that. That is logically not possible, because Isa alayhi salam has lived and died. Yes? Well, not we don't believe he passed away, by the way. We believe he was raised by Allah. But the Christians believed he died. Okay? So he cannot be. He's not necessary. He's not the all-living. Yes? And Jibreel was a creation of Allah. He's not the sustainer. Yes or no? So these are not necessary beings. They're not the ones worthy of worship. Only one worthy of worship is the one true God, the Almighty God. The one who brought everything into existence. That's why it's such a beautiful, powerful introduction to the surah. Because it's going to speak to the Christians. Yes? And Allah's going to remind them that the only one worthy of worship is Allah and no one else. No human being, no created being. Right? Look at this. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. It is He who shapes you in the womb as He wills. Why is this relevant? What is this talking about? Or who is this referencing? Can you guess?
The baby.
Okay. All babies, of course, Allah shapes them in all babies in the wombs. But who is being, you know, like there's like a who's being alluded to? Something that like you, it's said without you saying it. It's understood without you saying their name.
Isa.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting. He is the one who shaped Isa al-Islam in the womb. Right? Just like all babies. Yes or no?
Yes.
So how can someone that was shaped by Allah in the womb, sustained by Allah in the womb, huh? Brought into existence by Allah, didn't exist before he was brought into existence, how could he be worthy of worship? How could he have the powers of God? You see? Everything in the Quran ties back to something, guys. Like, it actually, like these ayat, it seems like they're, you know, not flowing. But if you understand the main themes of the surah, you will start to see why Allah says what He says. He is going to address the Christians. But before He addresses them directly, He's going to address them indirectly. Make some points indirectly that chip away at the false premises that they base their faith on. Chips away at that. Very, very subtly, very beautifully. Okay. Before I go ahead into the next part of the surah, I actually want to go to the end of the surah. Okay, you guys are with me, or yes or no?
Yes.
Hype, yes, if you're with me. Blink once. Okay, good. All right, the end of the surah. Arham, I'm going to need your help. Arham, you're with me?
Yes.
All right, Arham. Okay. Arham, and I need one other volunteer to read the English. Who would that be?
Me.
Dara, you want to be that guy?
Yes.
Dara. Okay. Right. Sure. Jaffa, did you volunteer too? So I didn't hear.
Yeah, I did as well.
Okay. Dara, can Jaffa go first? Because I think he said before you.
Okay. No.
Thank you, Dara. Next time we'll get you. Okay. All right. Ya Arham. Can you please read this?
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب.
Jaffa.
There are signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day for people of understanding.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار.
Who remember God while standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, and who ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, Lord, you have not created all this without purpose. Glory be to you. Save us from the torment of the fire.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to stop you guys there. Thank you very much, both of you. Jazakallah khair. Really appreciate that. Okay. Do you see the something interesting here? Here, Allah speaks about what's the main topic of the ayah? There are
signs of worship.
Signs.
The creation.
Signs in what? Signs in?
The creation of heavens and the earth.
The creation of the heavens and the earth. Okay. Also in the alternation of night and
day.
And day. Okay. Two things, yes or no? Creation of the heavens and the earth, alternation of night and day. Okay. What is this referring to? This is referring to, if you look up in the sky, or you look around you on the earth, or you observe how the time lapses, yes? And how the seasons change. Everything around you, the system that we live in, that whole system is a what? Or in it is what? Signs for the people of understanding. People of understanding. Ulul albab, actually, it's actually even more precise than people understanding. It's actually smart people. Ulul albab is, ulil albab here, is smart people. People who are able to listen to something.
Logical people? Figure, Logical people?
Not just logical, yes. But if someone gives them a 10-minute lecture and then tells them, can you summarize what you learned from this 10-minute lecture in a minute? They're able to summarize the most important points very, very quickly. That skill, right? Skill of taking a lot of information, figuring out this is important, this is not important, this is actually one of the most critical parts of learning. That skill is called, or the one who has the skill is called in Arabic, ulul albab, or a person of lub. The one who's able to figure out this is important and this is not important. The people who have this ability, this clear mind, this the smart, intellect, but also it's used for something important. They're not using their smartness for something that's irrelevant or something that is evil. They're using it for something that's important. They're using it to figure out what is the purpose of life. They're figuring out why does this all exist, this magnificent universe, the amount of infinite amount of galaxies, or not infinite, but near infinite amount of galaxies, the incredible nature of the world, how everything works, how the oceans are, how the caves are, how the mountains are, how there is just a seemingly endless life on earth, how there is, if you enter the micro nature of things, the molecular level, that's like a world, a universe itself. Do you know, like, if you were to create bacteria or like breed bacteria for like making cheese or something, in like a small petri dish, you will have like a billion bacteria, just almost unimaginable amount of bacteria, small in like a small petri dish, no bigger than this cup, right? So at the molecular level, it's like a universe, and at a macro level. It is an unfathomable amount of universe and the size of it. What is the purpose of all of this? Are we just is this all there for no reason, or is there a reason? It all works in such beautiful order. The sun rises, like clockwork, right? The sun sets like clockwork. You can predict it. Everything fits. Everything happens, flawlessly. Is this all by chance? It's just randomly? Is it random? That's what these people are thinking about. Ulul albab, the people of understanding. You see? And when they think about this, they're not just thinking about it, they're trying to remember God. You know, their hearts are engaged. Their minds are engaged, their hearts are engaged. And when they're finished pondering over the creation, they realize, Lord, you have not created all this without purpose. There is a reason why you made this, oh Allah. There's a reason why you created this magnificent creation and put us here on this earth. There's a reason for us to be here. The reason for us to be here is to worship you, to know you and to worship you. And then through your worship, we are saved from the punishment of the fire. We're entered into paradise through your worship. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. How does this tie back to the beginning of the surah? You may ask. Well, what does the surah begin by? What does the surah begin by, people?
اللَّهُ لَعْنَا الْحَقِ يَوْمِ.
Right? That, why is Allah the only one worthy of worship, right? The surah ends by talking about people who are trying to answer that question. But this time they're trying to answer this question by looking around. Remember I told you, in Surah Al-Baqarah, this was a theme that we had talked about, right? What we're expected to do is reflect on the world around us. Our faith is based on the signs that are inside the book, the Quran. And our faith is also based on the ayat outside the book. Do you remember that? Right? This is a theme you will see throughout the Quran. Here as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first points out faith, true faith. Remember, this is one of the important themes here. True faith. Firstly, we answer this question. From inside the book, the signs and answers are from inside the book. For example, ayah number 2, and outside the book, ayah number 190 to 191. And you see how it's really beautiful. There's like a symmetry. You know what symmetry is, right? There's a symmetry here. If the Quran starts, the surah starts with something. It's like it's mirror images at the end of the surah. Right? The mirror image. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to figure out, wants us to have true faith. Part or the basis of our faith is, why is Allah worthy of worship alone? Why la ilaha illallah, right? He gives us reasons from inside the book, ayah number 2. And at the end, he gives us reasons from outside the book. Look around you. Look at the immense, the universe. That should give you confidence, certainty that there is someone who made this. It can't just come from chance. And who that one who made it, is he the necessary only one worthy of worship? That's the other question, and that's answered here. Do you see how the Quran connects things that seem like they're not connected, but there is actually like a very deep connection, and that requires us to think, right? And that's what the Quran asks us to do, think about what Allah is saying, okay? All right, we're going to do the next part of the surah when it addresses the Christians, inshallah, and the life of Maryam and Isa. We'll do that next week. I hope to see you all there. Same time, same place. I would like you to please come on time, if you don't mind, yeah? Inshallah. Okay. Jazakumullahu khairan. I'll see you all. Yes, 1 p.m. next week. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته